We used to say, sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. Dr. Dufresne. Yeah. You know, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. We're not that church.
Nope.
We're not that church. We're not that church. Praise the Lord. What do you mean by that church? You know, there are certain churches where everybody just sits really quiet. And if it's not written out, they give you a little bulletin on the way in. And if it's not written out there what to say or what to do, you don't do it. Right?
Yeah.
That's not this church. In this church, when you hear something good, you're allowed to say amen. You're allowed to agree. You're allowed to verbalize amen. So this isn't the Presbyterian church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's good. He's good. He's good. We've been ministering the past couple weeks just looking at some foundational scriptures, if you would say it that way, just some of the foundational doctrines that we believe as Christians. We talked 2 weeks ago about the fact that the world has a problem, and it's called sin. The world has a sin problem. Everyone that's born, and as we're recapping some of this, why don't you turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Everyone in this world, when they're born into this world, they're born with what we call a sin nature. And that's a problem, because sin separates a person from God. And when God saw this problem in the works, he prepared a savior.
Yes.
He prepared someone that could stand in the gap, make up the difference, who could eradicate that sin nature for us, because we couldn't do it on our own. These are big concepts, but they're important concepts that we understand as believers. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And so we've been looking in the scriptures, looking in, we looked in Ephesians chapter 2, where it talked about the walking dead, right? The people that walk around in this earth, they're dead in their trespasses and sins. They are living a life and don't even realize they're dead on the inside. And they're dead because of this problem of sin. And Romans 5, you guys turn there, I didn't. Let me get there. Romans 5, verse 12, it says this: therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, who's that one man?
Adam.
Sin came into the world through Adam. Just as it came into the world through one man, and death through sin, was that spiritual death, came through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. That's what we're talking about. The world has a sin problem. All men have a sin problem. And as we said a couple weeks ago, I grew up in a church, like we were just talking about, I grew up in a church that talked about, if you're just good enough, if you just do good things for people, if you'll just be good morally, with any luck, you'll make it to heaven. The problem is, the scriptures don't say that. The scriptures say nothing about luck, right? The scriptures say nothing about just hope and pray that when life ends for you on this earth, you've measured up. Because the thing is, sin came into the world through one man, and death through that sin. You're not going to eradicate. No one is going to be good enough with their works to make it to heaven, to have fellowship with the Father. So it says here that just as sin came into the world through one man, death came through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. And then in verse 15 of Romans 5, it says this, but the free gift is not like the trespass. Now here, Paul is comparing Jesus versus Adam.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. As a matter of fact, in other parts of the scripture, it talks about Jesus being the second Adam. Okay? First Adam, second Adam. So verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass, not like Adam. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. Adam's sin brought condemnation to all men. That's what we said last week. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Eve. Right? But the free gift that Jesus gave following many trespasses brought justification.
Yes.
Remember what we said, just if I never sinned.
Yeah.
Jesus, the blood that we talked about last week that was shed for us, it eradicated our sin nature. When we receive Jesus, we pass, the Bible says, from death to life. That sin nature is gone. Our inner man is made new. Jesus said, you're born again. Glory to God. Other parts of the Bible in Romans, he says, you'll be saved.
Yes. Yeah.
These are all words we use to describe what has happened to us, the Christian, when we receive him as our Lord. It's important we understand these terms and know these terms because there's going to come a time where your faith comes into question. When somebody questions you about why you believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have a better answer than, I don't know, I just believe. Right?
Yes.
Right? I mean, that is an answer, but it's not a solid one, all right? It's not a solid one. So we were in verse 16, the free gift. It's not the result of that one man's sin, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned. Do you see that? Death reigned through that one man. What man is he talking about again?
Adam.
Death reigned through Adam. Thanks, Adam. Thanks. But much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ. Wow, that is a huge verse.
Yes, it is.
That's a huge verse. What's he saying? Because of Adam, everyone born into Adam's bloodline, which is everyone born in this world, has a death problem, a sin problem.
Yes.
But because of Jesus, because of the gift he brought by going to the cross, by dying, by raising again from the dead, by putting that blood on the mercy seat. Because of that, the abundance of grace in that act, the free gift of righteousness that he brought to us, we can now reign in life.
Yes.
Through that one man, Jesus Christ. So just as we, before we knew Christ, we're spiritually dead because of Adam. We now, because of Jesus, We can reign in life. Mm-hmm. No longer dead, but alive. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. What does that mean, Jesus? It means not only the day you get born again are you passed from death to life, but the further you go with God, the more you live on this earth, the more life you gain. The more of this word you see, the more Zoe that we talked about, the life of God, that's the Greek word Zoe, more of that life bubbles in you and expands in you, and it allows your whole life. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your inner man prospers, as it receives more and sees more of this life that's in you. You can reign in life. That's amazing. Amen. That's amazing. When we talk about somebody reigning, who do we normally talk about? Who reigns? Kings. Kings. Queens, right? Queen Elizabeth is the reigning monarch in England, right? She's a pretty cool lady. She's pretty cool. But the Bible says, you, if you know Jesus, if you've received him as the Lord, you can reign in your life. What does that mean? How does a king reign? He's been given power and authority over his kingdom. That's why he's called a king. He's got a dominion, right? He has dominion over his sphere. Because of what Jesus did for you, you can reign over your sphere.
Yes.
Wow. The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness allow us to reign in this life. And you might say, well, I don't think I'm reigning yet. Well, this grows. This increases. The more you know about it. What about a king who there have been in scripture, you find like the kings where somebody comes in, takes over the kingdom, kills all the kids, right? But there was one case where one of the priests hid one of the babies and raised him, kind of hid him in the temple and raised him until he was like 8 years old. And he said, okay, he's old enough to be king now. Not really, but he was old enough to take over for the wicked king and kick the wicked one out who tried to usurp the throne. And so they had a big coup, if you will. Where the priest brought out this 8-year-old and set him on the throne, gave him the kingdom, said, "Long live King so and so." I forget his name, but anyway, you know. Then the other king, so-called king, who had usurped authority, he was like, "Oh, I'm in trouble now," and he winds up losing his life. Why? Because he had taken the throne that wasn't rightfully his.
Right.
When Adam sinned, Satan took the throne that wasn't rightfully his. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus died,
yes. Come on.
When Jesus died, he restored his people to the throne.
Amen.
You are a king of your own life. Kings and priests, it says in we read in Hebrews, Revelation. Okay. Kings and priests. But we have been made this. We have been given this gift of reigning through Jesus. So the world has a sin problem. Last week we talked about the blood and how the blood eradicated sin for us. We talked about the Passover, how when the blood was applied to the door, that destroyer had to pass over and not touch the people that were in the house where the blood was, representing what Jesus did for us. So now, because of Jesus, we that have received him and accepted him, we can now, almost like that 8-year-old king, be put back on the throne of our own life and given the reins, so to speak, the control over our life. But just like that 8-year-old king, he was 8 years old. He didn't know what he was doing. So the priest, I wasn't planning to talk about him, so I didn't even look him up where he is. But that priest helped the 8-year-old, taught the 8-year-old, guided the 8-year-old, and helped him know what to decree, what to do, what to say, how to reign. The moment you get born again, you don't understand everything that's in this book. And here's a newsflash. 30 years later, I still don't understand everything that's in this book. But I understand enough of it now. Yes. Why? Because when I got born again, a guide came on the inside. Yeah. Ah, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, lives on the inside of you to help you see and know, to help you know how to rule in your life, how to reign on your throne, yes, and how to kick that enemy Satan out of your life so that you can prosper and be in health. Oh, amazing.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Verse 18 says this: therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Why does he keep saying the same thing over and over? Because it's important. Mm-hmm. We've got to get this. We've got to get this. It's not about how good we are or how much we merit in our own works. Everybody's in the same boat because of Adam, but everybody can receive this same gift of life through
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 19 says this: for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. You see that?
Yes.
So by the one man, Jesus, obedience, the many will be made righteous.
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Come on.
This is called feeding on the word.
Yes.
When we just take some scriptures and kind of mull over them. When you're reading scriptures like this at home, you can read them out loud to yourself. Read and just you might say like verse 17 or verse 19 over and over to yourself and just let it get down on the inside of you. You know, like if you have a good steak in front of you, you don't eat it in one bite. Right? Or whatever you consider good. You might not like steak. You don't eat it in one bite. Why? First of all, you're not going to be able to chew it all if it's all in your mouth in one bite. And you're going to have a hard time swallowing it. And that's the same way with the word. Sometimes you have to take little bites, right? You can take in a lot of the word, meaning you can read chapter after chapter if you want. But sometimes you've got to take little bites and get them down on the inside of you. And we try to do a combination of both when we minister. Sometimes today, if we're able, we're going to get to a lot of different scriptures. But sometimes we just take one or two scriptures and boom, 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 get it on the inside of us, right? We need both. For by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Made sinners. It was not my choice to be born into sin. It was not my choice. And if you talked to me when I was 16 or 17 years old, I would have told you, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Because I didn't understand what the Bible said, because no one ever showed me what the Bible said. Amen. About the fact that because of Adam, all have this condition. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of whether you do right or wrong in your daily life. It's a sin nature. I'll keep saying it until we all get it. By one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So, by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Made righteous. Made righteous. What does righteous mean? You can rightly stand before God. You understand God's holy. He's perfect. Mm-hmm. When his presence gets around sin, it consumes it.
Right.
The Bible also talks about God being an all-consuming fire.
Yes.
Meaning that what is impure is gone. It's eradicated. It is consumed. Because he's holy. Mm-hmm. So in order for him to gain fellowship back with his man, he had to provide a way for man to get rid of the sin problem. Jesus is that way.
Amen.
Yep. He is.
Amen.
He's the way.
Yes.
He's the truth. He's the life. And through his obedience, those of us who have received him, the many, can be made righteous. Now let me say something to you. We are not made righteous when we go to heaven. We are made righteous the moment we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's important because not everybody believes that. Sadly, not everybody believes that. It's important that you know that. And we could turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Real quick, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Another scripture you can have underlined in your Bible, highlighted. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," who is in Christ? We are, those who have received, asked Jesus to be their Lord. Anyone is in Christ, he's a new what?
Creation.
The old has what? Passed away. That means the sin nature, the old man, the old you on the inside, passed away. Behold, what? The new has come. Verse 21 of chapter 5. It says, "For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew," what? "No sin, so that in him we might," what? "Become the righteousness of God." Not when we die and go to heaven, but the moment we become a new creature, verse 17. Right? The minute we get born again,
Amen.
We have been made righteous.
Made righteous.
That means we get to come boldly into the throne of grace.
Yes.
That means there's no more sin problem in my spirit, man. I am just like Jesus in the fact that I've been justified. Just if I've never sinned. Does that mean that once you get born again, you will never sin, do wrong again in your life. No, actually it doesn't. But it means the inner you is right with God. That's where people get some confusion going. There are people that believe that you're a sinner, you're born a sinner, you're always a sinner, you can get saved and go to heaven, but you're still a sinner and you can't help it. That's not what the Bible here, the Bible I'm reading, maybe you can find a different one that says differently. But this Bible, we just read two different scriptures where it says you've been made righteous. Yes. That you are now, because of Jesus, reigning in life as a king. Praise the Lord.
Praise Him.
Let's go back to Romans. So we've been made righteous. We've been made new on the inside. But we still have this thing, right? So our inner man, our spirit, new, clean, free from sin.
Yes.
But we just said, you know, that doesn't mean that we're not capable of sinning, right? What does sin mean? It just means doing wrong, doing what you know. What the Bible says, if you know to do right and you don't do it, it's sin.
Amen.
And so the more we see in the Word about how we're to live, if we go out and do opposite of that, well, the Bible calls that sin. Well, how does that work? If we've been made righteous, how is it then? Well, it's so simple, and yet people miss it. They just miss it. Our inward man, our new man, it's brand new, right? Our spirit man, brand new. But that spirit lives in something we call a body. Mm-hmm. The Bible calls it flesh.
Yes.
Flesh. It's a good description, right? Your flesh was in control of your life up until the moment you got born again. And your flesh likes to do what your flesh likes to do.
Indeed.
And when you got born again, your flesh didn't like it. Why? Because all of a sudden, somebody else was in town who wanted to run the show. Right? And so now we've got a dog fight. I've seen a couple dog fights.
Oh, come on.
They're not pretty. So where some confusion comes in with some of the body of Christ is, you know, some people will get up and preach, you've got this sin nature and you're just always going to have it. You're always going to be capable of sin because your flesh will always want to dominate you. And in one aspect, that's right, if you let your flesh rule. So the next couple chapters of Romans, Paul starts talking about what it's like to have your flesh dominate you, and then what it's like to have your spirit man dominate you. So we're going to look at a few of these verses, if that's all right. This might be a little different. We're just taking it a little slow this morning, but I want to look at these because it's important that we understand it. Amen? Okay, so Romans 6 and verse 6. It says this: we know that our old self was crucified with him. What was our old self?
Sin
nature. That sin nature. That old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to what?
Nothing.
Glory to God. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. You understand, before you knew Jesus, before you accepted him, you were enslaved to sin.
Yes.
People don't like to talk about that word slavery, but it's all over the Bible.
Right.
And people are in it every day if they don't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. They might say, don't call me a slave. They are. They're a slave to their flesh. They're a slave to the enemy if they don't give their life to God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. These are amazing verses. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. What does he mean? Who died? Who died? Your old man died.
Yes.
When you received Jesus. When your flesh tries to rear up and say, we want to do that, you can literally say, I'm sorry, you're dead. One who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also, what? Live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you, this is a big verse, guys. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We've got to consider ourselves dead to sin. When you see that phrase in Scripture, this is faith language. When you consider yourself dead, even though your flesh feels very much alive, right? That's faith. That's believing that what God said about me, my sin nature's gone. I've received new life. I'm going to walk in life, not in sin.
Right, yeah.
That's faith language.
Yes.
Right there. That's believing what God said over what you feel.
Yes. Yeah.
Or what you see.
Yeah.
You consider yourself dead to sin.
Yeah.
But what if my flesh wants to do it? That's something you feel. Right? That's something you feel. But according to Scripture, Jesus has made you reign in your life.
Mm-hmm.
He's put you, your spirit, on the throne of your life. So I can consider myself dead to those things I used to do before.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. But if you don't know this, then when you get born again, you're still trying to get rid of sinful flesh the way you used to by being good, by trying to do it in your own flesh, by trying to work things good enough, be nice enough, right? But it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what Jesus did, with the blood that was shed, and he made you righteous. And in that righteousness, you can sit down on the throne of your life and look at your flesh and say, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
This might be a different way of looking at things than a lot of people preach, but it's what the Word says. You must consider yourself dead. Oh. Dead to sin, alive to God. You can wake up in the morning and say, Father, thank you, I'm alive to you today. Thank you that my flesh is dead in my mind. I consider it dead.
Yes.
So I'm not even going to listen to it today. I'm going to walk around in the freedom that you've given me by the blood. This is faith. This is faith. Believing what God provided, and by faith, reaching out and grabbing hold of it with both hands and not let go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Consider yourselves dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. You mean you can do that? You can tell your flesh no? You can tell sin get out? Yes, he made you reign in life. He gave you your kingdom. Wow. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Verse 13, do not present your members, your flesh, to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. But, this is what we do. We present ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members, your flesh, to God as instruments for righteousness. What's he saying? You choose. I choose. Any point in my day, I can choose. I am not presenting this body to sin. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm not going to the places I used to go to, where I used to do the things I used to do. But I'm keeping myself in the sphere of God, in the realm of God. I am feeding myself the Word. I am listening to the Word. I'm hanging out with people who know God. And I am exercising my mouth. Like we were talking about during the offering, I'm staying full of the things of God.
Amen.
And I'm presenting even my body to God, to be used by him. Mm-hmm. And it's my choice. And all you have to do to present your flesh to sin is not pay attention to presenting your members to God. In other words, this is an active thing we do day by day.
Yes.
A choice we make. And you might, I mean, if you've been having struggles with certain things or your flesh is trying to take over in certain areas of your life, you fly off the handle when somebody pushes your button or cuts you off in the road or whatever it is, you can make a choice in the morning before you ever get in the car to present your whole body, your spirit, your mind, and your flesh to live for God. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Don't present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. That's you. That's me. We've been brought from death to life. And your members to God as instruments of righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you. I love this verse. Sin will have no dominion over you. Why? Because you're so great? No. How many times have we read it? Because of the free gift of righteousness that Jesus gave us. Sin will have no dominion over you since you're not under the law, but you're under grace. You're under grace. What's grace? Grace is God's ability, His power. You're under grace, meaning there's power and ability from God to help you reign in your life, to help you say no to sin.
Yes.
We consider ourselves dead to sin. That's faith. And instead, in faith, we grab hold of the grace God's provided for us, His ability and power to reign over sin. Praise God. Mm-hmm. What does this mean? It means you can live this life. You can do this thing that God has asked you to do, which is to live holy unto Him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is so exciting. You may not be running around the room right now, but when you can stand up and your flesh is crying out to do something and you can wholeheartedly with a strong spirit say, no, we're dead to that. But it's not you that's doing it. It's His grace that you've grabbed hold of. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Thank God for His grace.
Yes.
And every day you can activate His grace in your life by faith. We understand this. We know in Ephesians 2, it says, by grace you're saved by faith, right? There's always grace. There's always faith. By faith, every morning, I can wake up and say, Father, you said my body is now dead to sin. And so by faith, I grab hold of your ability to walk in that grace. To walk in that place where I'm free from sin. And I thank you that I'm free. I thank you that I'm free. I thank you that I'm free. And you go around your day thanking God that by faith you've got His grace.
Mm-hmm.
And you're free. You're free.
Amen.
Everybody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. And you see where this is no longer a transaction where your flesh, you're in the flesh, you're trying to fight the flesh, right? You're going back and forth and doing what you didn't want to do, but, oh, and then you feel bad about it. Oh, no. No, we can simply do what the Word says. Consider ourselves dead to sin. Grow strong in spirit. And grab hold of the grace God's provided for us to walk in freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Now, we do not have time to look at, there's so many great verses. Let's just finish out here in Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You understand, even if your flesh messes up and your flesh gets into sin, you're still righteous on the inside of you. And you can come before God and say, Father, I messed up. I'm sorry. Right now, I'm determined to walk in your grace. And you get right back on track. Right back on track. Right back on track. It doesn't have to take months. It doesn't have to take weeks. It doesn't have to take days. It doesn't have to take hours. You can get right back on track. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. We've been set free. Set free from the law of sin and death. How? The law of the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We look to the Spirit for His help. We've got a guide on the inside who teaches us. Just like the priest taught that, I think it was Josiah, the little 8-year-old guy, how to reign in his kingdom. The Spirit of God will teach you, the Word of God will teach you how to reign in your life with the Spirit of life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet today? Were you helped in what you heard today? This is so important. It's so wonderful. It's great news. It's great news. We don't have to conquer the flesh with our flesh. We don't have to do it with willpower. We've got the Spirit of the living God helping us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we're grateful today that we're free. Praise God. Why don't you say this with me? Father, I'm free from sin. I'm free from bondage. By faith, I walk with your victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You're dismissed.